continue our study of the path that Peter is on, would you turn to the book of John with me, please? John chapter 21. We followed through the book of Luke for a while, through the Last Supper, the death and the resurrection of our Lord, and we're now in the book of John looking at some more of the time between our Lord's resurrection from the grave to the time that he ascends with the Father. And in our last study, we left off We left off the book of Luke. So we're now where our great God in heaven, in human form, was about to ascend into glory, and after giving his life a ransom for many, and he appeared on the shore as Peter and several others had returned to their former task as fishermen. Last week we looked at how our Lord provides everything. We looked at the meal that our Lord had provided on the shore, and how he provides everything for his people, everything for his preachers, everything for his prophets to go out into the world. Oh, how often I can tell you that the Lord has waited to the last minute to show John Reeves what to get up and preach about. Today is going to be one of those very things. He provides everything we need, even when we don't know we need it. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the wonders our Lord has for us. And he appeared on the shore as Peter and several others. They had returned to their former tasks as fishermen. Yet this was not what our Lord had in store for them. In Mark's account, we have what is called the Great Commission. In Mark 16, you don't need to turn there, verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the Great Commission. And that's not just to God's preachers. Each and every one of us are witnesses of Christ in our lives, in the way we walk, in the things that we do, the way we act. The very fact that we look at God as ruler over everything, including this virus, including the troubles that we have in this world, including the chaos that we see in our cities around us. When we see our Lord as ruler of all that, and nothing is out of his control. There is no chaos in the world of God, only to you and I. When we walk through this world understanding that and living like that, and people see that in us, they see the power of God in us. We are each witnesses to those around us. Our Lord passed by these men when first they met him, and he commanded, "Follow me." And he said, "I will make you fishers of men." Our Lord sent Jonah to preach to the Ninevites, and he tried to walk a different direction, didn't he? He ran off to the sea. Isn't that interesting? I just realized that he ran off to the sea just as Peter and the disciples returned to the sea. I'm not quite sure what there is a meaning of that, but it just is kind of interesting, isn't it? No, Jonah was told to go and preach to the Ninevites, to prophesy. And he tried to walk a different direction, but as with Peter, our Lord intervened, teaching as he went. Jonah's lesson was pretty hard to take. He died in the belly of the fish. Peter's lesson is going to be a lot more gracious, a lot more easier to take. But both are going to result in the same thing. God's people coming forth and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, once again to John's account of these last events. Let us read verse 3 of chapter 21. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a-fishing." And they say unto him, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. There were seven of his disciples assembled together in a certain place and not far from the Sea of Galilee. And Peter said to the others, I go a-fishing. You see, this was his business. This is what Peter knew. All those things that he had witnessed in the presence of our Lord and Savior, he put aside, thinking it was all over. He had gone back to the tomb. He saw the Lord wasn't there. And he went about his way. And here he is back at the seashore, doing what he knows best, fishing. This was his business. It was his occupation before the Master called him. And judging from the following verses, it seemed that Peter, having nothing to do, unsure of his Master's purpose for him, and being a man of action more than one of wanting to stand around with his thumbs in his pocket, he decided to go back to the boats and to the nets. Was turning his back on preaching or returning to his former occupation. We don't know that for sure, but it appears so, doesn't it? We see the other disciples were ready to follow him. They evidently still owned some boats and some nets, because that's what they went back to. And so they entered into a ship, and after they had done so often before, they fished all night. But notice that this night they caught nothing. Folks, our Lord is sovereign even over the fish of the sea. Imagine what it would have been like for them to go back to it and catch stuff, catch fish. No, our Lord had them sit there all night long with... Have you ever sat on a boat for more than an hour or so? Have you ever sat in a boat and not caught fish? I remember one time we went out on the ocean, the only time I've ever been out deep sea fishing. And I called the guy when I made the reservations, and I asked him, I said, hey, you know, is this going to be a good time to go fishing? Oh, yeah. Folks, there was one fish caught in all the boats that went out that day. One. And it wasn't on our boat. I'm telling you, they have a lot. You got a lot of time to think when all you're doing is sitting there floating up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's exactly what the Lord did. He made them sit there all night long and think. I can imagine what was going through Peter's mind. Man, all that I thought was going on just ain't the way it is it? Here I thought the Lord was in our presence and he was going to come back and he was going to make this great throne and he was going to sit on his throne and in the world. And Peter couldn't see that Christ Jesus sat on his throne all the time. The throne has always been his. He ruled over everything, even that night that they went back to fish. And they caught nothing. Our Lord is sovereign even over the fish, and it was he who prevented them from having any success that night. You see, they needed to know that they had been called to be fishers of men, not fishermen. This was no longer their job. Their job now was to go out. And it was plain as could be, but they just couldn't see it yet. I know how that feels. I really, really do. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me if you would, please. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No, we've been out here fishing all night. We ain't caught nothing. Oh, morning had come and our Lord stood on the shore. The disciples were only about 100 yards off the shore, and they could both hear him and see him. But notice that they did not know that it was the Lord. When he had said, Have you caught nothing at all? Have you? They replied, No. He did not ask this question for information because he did not know, but the reason was twofold. First, it was to draw their attention to the fact that their return to their old occupation was a total failure, and to make them attentive to the miracle that he was about to perform. He can and does indeed supply the needs of his people. In Philippians 4:19, we read this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I've seen that miracle. I've seen it happen in this very building. And what a miracle it is to see our Lord do a work in his people. Oh, is it not interesting that once again Peter was blinded to what it was that spoke to him, to who it was that spoke to him? In verse 5 we read, "Then Jesus said to them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And again we see our great and gracious Lord revealing himself in a very wonderful way. Look at verse 6. "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." Our Lord not only blessed them with fish, he blessed them with so much they couldn't handle it all. Their cup ran over. Could you not say that? The nets were so full they could barely pull it out. Can we not see the power of God in his word? In the very miracles that he has performed in our own lives? Revealing himself to his chosen through the declaration of one of his prophets. Look at verse 7. "Therefore that disciple, that one called John, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord." That's what the prophets of God do. We don't stand around telling people about what a wonderful church we have here and all the good things we have here. Do you know? We stand before you and tell you, there's the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on his throne right now. Put all your troubles at his feet. It's the Lord God Almighty in the flesh. He has come to this world, was manifest flesh in the flesh for your and my sakes. That we can look to him and say, Abba, Father. It is the Lord who calls. It is the Lord who stands on the shore and calls after his people. It is the one who rules all things that calls us. It is the master of all that is that calls his people. Again, verse 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his father's coat unto him, for he was naked, and didst cast himself into the sea." What does Peter do? He throws himself into the sea, not waiting for the ship as the rest did. Once again, he straightway went unto the Lord. Remember when the Lord first passed by the men at the seashore, what did they do? They got up straightaway. They didn't dilly-dally around, as my son would say, dilly-dally. They didn't sit around wondering, well, should we follow that guy or not? No, they got up and followed the Lord, because the Lord speaks with power, doesn't he? Just as he has called you and I out of the darkness, just as he has called every one of his people, he says to them by name, "Come unto me." And they come. Our Lord said, "Cast your nets on one side." And their nets were full. Once again, he straightway, Peter, went unto the Lord. I remind you of the words of the Lord. "Thus saith the Lord, Satan wishes to sift you. But our Lord says, Yet I have prayed for thee." He's speaking to each and every one of us, folks. Oh, we go through so many troubles of this world. So many troubles in this flesh. Yet our Lord says, "I have prayed for thee." In John 17, he says, I pray not for the world, I pray for them that thou hast given me. Can we ever hear this phrase too many times? And that he that spared not his only begotten Son, how shall he not give us all things? What a friend we have in Jesus. I agree, Mike. I don't know what the power of prayer is, but I know that when I speak to my Lord and Savior, times come when he answers me very, very plainly. And I thank my Lord for revealing himself to me when he does answer me plainly. I thank him also for the things that he answers that I can't see too. But oh, the feeling we have of peace in our souls when we see the Lord give us what we need. Our Lord says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, we come to the Lord over and over and over again. And until he takes us home from this flesh, this body of death, we're going to keep coming to him. And he's going to keep blessing us. And he's going to keep reminding us of, don't worry about it. I got it. I'm in control. Don't worry about that stuff that's going on out there. I got this. I like a Lord who's got it, don't you? He is the Lord Jehovah Jireh. In other words, he is the Lord. He will provide all our needs. Do you need this day? Then I tell you, run to Christ and keep running to him. Amen. Stand with me if you would, please.